soap opera. Bong down. All the way down. Really ain't no use for me hanging around. You're trying to see. Music, sweet music. I wish I could caress in a kiss. Manic depression is a frustrating mess.
Motherfucker spit.
Thank you. from Mexico. Come on home.
I want to come back home from Mexico.
Baby, come home. When you get here, come up to my room.
Baby, I want to come home from Mexico. Want to turn the lights down.
Howdy.
We're back.
I'm not going to lie. Claudia can... I could have kept it just between me and Claudia, but turn that down just a little bit. Bring it down.
I am.
Okay. Geez Louise. That was the makeup with their version of Hey Joe. Which we all know is a Jimi Hendrix song or whatever for the most part, but that's actually an old, like, blues song that's been done a million times over. And it's actually public domain. Anybody, and you yourself at home can do your own version of Hey Joe and share it with the world without any copyright infringement. But that is the only version where it ends up happy.
Right.
Like, hey, Joe, you down in Mexico? Come back home.
Right.
When you come back home, knock on my door. And you can ask Claudia. I got a little misty. I was
the loaf got verklempt.
I've never heard this version until now, really. You know, he didn't kill the woman. He just went and took a little break, you know.
Right.
And they're going to work it out. That is so much fucking better than the original version. I mean, the original version, you know, of course, has its merit. I'm not going to argue that, but, like... It was a very, very sweet version of that song.
Yeah, definitely.
And the makeup. I saw them open up for Sonic Youth. Clay Neely took me to that fucking show. It was a Sonic Youth, the makeup, and some new band called Yola Tango was opening up. And I've seen them like four times. I still can't get into that band.
I never really got into them either. I appreciate some of it, but it's like...
Good for the people that do. But anyways, the makeup, I was like, holy shit. This reminds me of like Nation of Ulysses. And I was like, holy shit. This is like members of Nation of Ulysses, the old Discord band, which we played on the show before. And they're so much fun. And I saw them in Minneapolis twice too. They're like, they were just such a great live experience and a lot of fun. But they gave us some Hey Joe. I guess we'll work backwards from there. What do we do from there?
We did Jimi Hendrix with Manic Depression.
Motherfucker spitting.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience.
That's the one. From there we did Ramones Rock and Roll High School. Rock, rock. I dedicate that one to my son Sho, who just started last week. Started his senior year of high school.
He's a man.
He's a man. He's almost a man. He's a strapping young man. But I could also tell just like just in the last week, like how was school? You know what I mean? Because
right.
When it was summertime, like how you doing? Oh, great, man! You know, we chatted up or something. No, it's like school. It's like, oh, your teacher is out of school.
It's fine.
And he falls asleep around 9:30. Right. You know, like...
Like, senior year is awesome, but senior year also sucks because it's that, like, home stretch, you know?
There's a lot of pressure right there in the moment, isn't there? Backing up, we had The Residents with The Act of Being Polite.
On the commercial album.
The commercial album. We, the best 60 seconds you're going to get all day, but that's what I tell Claudia every night.
If you'd like to familiarize yourself with the work of The Residents, I think the commercial album is
the commercial album is like the best introduction point because it's like they're minute long songs and they're not like abbreviated or anything. They're full songs, but like yeah, there's 28 of them on that album. Thank God the fucking CD was in the thing because I said earlier like I sat down and I apparently had it.
Thing like exploded.
Cracks on both sides. That would have cracked the CD. God damn it.
Cartoon cigar and it blew up. Like, I don't know what happened.
It was
like physics, like science.
Oh, no, there's 40 songs. Sorry, 40 songs on this album.
But that was like physics. Like you hit that at like just the right point and it.
Lucky I didn't lose an eye, to be honest with you. Before that was, it depends on what you want to call it. Jihad Jerry and the Evildoers is the way I understood the album when it first came out. Some people thought that was like, Islamophobic or whatever. It was an album that came out like just after 9/11 and it was about Holy War. He played two characters in the album, like the Americans, the Christians and the Muslims, and it was this whole little thing about the Holy War. And when they did the reissue for Record Store Day and put it out on vinyl, they just said Gerald Casale or whatever. And I've even had arguments with my friend Corey and stuff like, oh, that's not a great album. That's horrible. And I was like, it's about like extremist on both sides, see, when you're an atheist, it's like, talking shit about Christians, Jews, or Muslims is no different. It's like, oh, God, these people with these ridiculous fairy tales in their fucking head. Like, I don't discriminate against these people or anything, but I mean, like, yeah, you're, for 2,000 years or better, your people have been teaching you to, like, accept things as fact with no evidence, and that's how you get QAnon. That's how you get suicide bombers. That's how you get illiterate fucking fundamentalists.
Right. Entire radicalized nations.
Yeah. Including our own. Yeah, especially our own. That was a song. Gerald Casale actually opened up a little bit in that song and talked about like a hooker he used to see in San Francisco and like. I left my heart in San Francisco. I left my brain, my wallet, and my money too. It was just, I can see why Mark was like, "Hey, that's not a Devo song. Maybe, right. Maybe that's a solo project song." But fuck you, Corey. I think it's perfectly acceptable for Gerald Casale to make these things. He's got a great song on the album. I thought about playing this one tonight, but Danger is actually a way better song. But he's got a Army Girls Gone Wild.
Right.
Army Girls Gone Wild. And it's about Abu Ghraib prison.
Right.
And I don't think anybody mistook that, it was anything short of sarcasm. Before that was Primus. Follow the Fool, which is we got that
new album, right?
Yeah, that new EP. We only got one more song to play off that, and we'll probably do it next week because you know how the fuck I am. I love me some fucking Primus and Les Claypool. So, but Follow the Fool, which is actually kind of right along with what I was saying about following the but off their Conspiranoid album, the EP, we got that. Got that in the mail the other day. It was a beautifully marbled colored vinyl little EP. Before that, it was
Bowie? Kooks from Hunky Dory.
Will you stay in my life?
I love that song so much. Oh, I love that album so much.
Oh, that album is my favorite. Like, yeah, my favorite Bowie. Yeah, yeah. I used to sing.
That song is so sweet.
I always sung that to my son's show when he was a little kid. Like a little baby. Like, not even a kid, like a baby. Will you stay in my life? And I stood by the promise that, like, and if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it in the fire and take a car downtown.
Right.
Like, there were times I remember, like, what, you got homework tomorrow? Fuck that. We're going to the movies. Right. We're going to the Metreon and watching some fucking Spider-Man. And, you know, like, yeah. We're not doing no homework, man. I'll talk to your teacher.
You're in the second grade. It'll be okay.
Yeah, this will roll off your back a bit. And then the oldest, the dirtiest, the bastardiest.
ODB.
ODB.
Shimmy, shimmy, hey. We're dancing around in the studio.
We were having a good one, yeah. We've been having a good one tonight. It's been nice.
Yeah. What are we moving on to next? We have about 15 minutes.
Oh, shit.
17
minutes. Well, we can at least get through three gratitudes, and then we'll see you from there.
Okay? All right.
This is the tri-gratitude set, starting off with Oingo Boingo.
Tornado on the tip of anyone's thumb. been everything that you expected it to be. Was it as good for you as it was good for me? And was it everything that it was all set up to be? In the middle of a big tornado, on the tip of everyone's thumb, in the belly of a giant whale, all the good if you wanna have fun. In the middle of a frightened neighbor, in a big warm bed at night, in a broken elevator, in the teeth of a dog that bites, in the middle of a revolution, in the rest of a child's face, in the sands of a dinner table, in a stillness of the space.
Gonna make a way, gonna make a way, gonna make a way, yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. We got to get on out of here.
We do. That went fast.
Time moves forward. Oingo Boingo with gratitude. Beastie Boys with gratitude.
Earth, Wind, and Fire with gratitude.
Triple gratitude. Gratitude.
Hey, it's 8 o'clock, and we're here with a very special podcast. We're just, Kasim Bentley's here. He's going to spit some knowledge to some new comedians that have questions and things and stuff, and how exciting that he's here. He has a new show that's gonna be starting on Sundays from 4 to 6 called
White Slavery. Right.
Hoorah!
Yeah, it's more than you think, but it's kind of what you think. You know what I mean? It's all there.
Well, it's provocative.
It's very provocative. Wait, where are you going, Jay?
I'm going.
Where are you going?
To the next mic.
Which mic? You going to Delirium?
Go to Edinburgh.
Oh, the 4-minute mic?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What are you doing here?
I'm just learning the tricks of the tools, man. So you can hear me get spew out all this racism. You know what I mean, on here on the pirate radio, but you, my friend, you, yeah. Oh, there. See what I'm learning? You think it's all pro, but I'm learning. You know what I mean? But I'm very happy for you, man. And I love what you're doing because, you know, like Eli, you see a lot of guys, like you especially, because you. It feels like, how long have you been doing comedy?
It'll be a year in April.
I'm
coming out.
Wait, is that your ride?
Yeah, don't worry.
You know, that sounded very fake when you did that right now. Is that your Uber right there? Well, let's go to your Uber.
No, I want to finish.
I'll hit you later.
No!
I'll hit you later.
I saw you hit him on mute. You put him on mute.
I love the outfit, though. It's very, like, Dominican guy got his first job. You know what I mean? It's like...
My mom's from Costa Rica.
Well, that explained a lot right there. Give it up, Guy Jason.
The denim and the velvet, that's special.
That guy, I think he works in tech. I have no idea. He's very interesting. But it's funny about comedy is that, like, I've been doing this for about 13 years. And after a while, I try not to really get into the minutiae of it all. Because what happens is, like, there's something that is you set yourself up for so much failure when you try to be the comedy cop, or you know, or the guy who really understands or thinks they understand comedy but has never done anything. You know what I mean? You see that a lot in Facebook. You see that in Facebook groups.
Yeah. Don't talk about comedy. Be funny. That's it.
And it's the fact that, like, you have to earn your. Sometimes you have to earn your stripes. It's like this. Like, it was a point when I used to play football. That you want to sit there, and the guy in the gym who's out of shape, you don't really want to, or the guy who's not, you know, he's not in shape, or he has the potential to be better, but he's the one to the blowhard.
He's got that good bone structure.
Yeah.
But there's nothing on him.
He's cement, he's blessed with symmetry. You know what I mean? But he thinks he understands something because people give him some props or there's some advantages.
And he got laid last night, and there's all this confidence coming out of nowhere with him.
Yeah, that's why he's so calm. His balls are drained. You know what I mean? So he's just sitting there talking to you. But it's the guy, that guy, you always have to look at a grain of salt because you have to understand, like, you don't really want to say it's not always about making major accomplishments because sometimes if you work with them in a system, it doesn't mean that you have greater, you're greater. I mean, you've done the work to get involved. And especially comedy, it's such a crapshoot. You understand? Because it's like your comedy is always working against you to see if you're going to make it.
You know? Do you grind anymore? Do you? I don't see you at all. You don't have to open mic anymore. You just.
Oh, no. You know what's funny? I told my old lady that I for the last 3 weeks, I wasn't trying to be an elitist. I just was trying to, like, I'm trying to do other things like this and trying to, you know, get everything, like, set up, you know, like, at night, set, like, email bookers and all that stuff. But I was noticing that you're running into, like, a lot of your own, running into my own pitfalls. Like, you know, like, you know, not switching up the set or, you know, some shows, like, I was, you know, the stakes are a little higher. So you just kind of fall back on your opener or closer or what you're known for. And I went to La Roca's 3 weeks ago. I forgot that Den of Maniacs there, because some...
Yeah, he hosts it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hosts it great because he's there. And the great thing about it is when you forget where you forget like what rooms you're very confident in, because you know the stage. That's why it's so funny. What I tell people, like, if you want to do Cobbs, don't feel bad about doing bringer shows and all that, because the thing about it is, in the long run, whatever you do with your career, you're gonna do with it, and there's opportunity, and you know, your awareness, your experience. But like, if you want to get your footing, like here's an example. I never did less than a month, like 3 weeks ago, I did the Palace of Fine Arts, and I opened for Yvonne Orji, or I think that's, I hope that's her name.
Ivana Orji, yeah. Right now, tonight.
old vaudeville, like, you know, hardcore comic, Ivana Orji. She's on Insecure, and I always wanted to do Palace of Fine Arts. It's about 900 seats, maybe 1,000. And if you don't do it a lot, that shit can be scary.
Is that outside or is that
inside?
Oh, I miss that building.
Yeah. It's great. They have other rooms. They have 200 seaters and all that stuff. But the big one is crazy. And the funny thing about it was, I don't know why I was nervous, because I had a sense it wasn't going to pack out, because she's famous, but she's black people famous. You know what I'm saying? That's a different way. And the Palace of Fine Arts, black people perform there. But Yvonne isn't. And this is no disrespect to her. I think she even knew herself. Like, she's famous from Insecure, and it's a big show. But to fill 900 seats, it'd be major if every show she did was taping a special. You know what I mean? And it was like black market or blacklist tickets or some shit. So I get there and I say, okay, let me just, I get there early so I can just kind of chill. And I make sure that before the show really gets, they start loading in, I just walk out on the stage and walk it, and I jump off, and I just walk around, because I just want to feel it all and kind of demystify, like, what is happening or what I think could happen, because you want to see yourself. I don't go up there and start, like, some comics have really weird traditions, like my boy Reggie Steele. He'll, like, shadow box in the back of the punchline, and if you see Reggie's 6'3", 280 pounds, all muscle mostly, and he can see and as a comic, as a seasoned comic, you're like, if you didn't know him, you're like, oh god, he's gonna bomb so bad. Or if you watch Brian Callen, he's like dancing around and doing stretches. If you didn't know he needs to get his energy up, he's prepared. You know, some guys.
That's how you get a comedy injury, though, when you have those physical routines like that. Come on, it's a dangerous sport.
Yeah, but you gotta train yourself. Yeah. You gotta take amino acids. You know what I mean?
Take pre-workout.
Yeah, treat like Crunch Fitness. You know what I mean? I used to take I remember me and Gary Anderson, we were addicted to taking this energy candy called Bang.
Bang.
Bang. It had two A's. Bang, right? And I would take it a half hour before my set, and geez, I mean, I don't know, because I sometimes would have, you know, as you get older, you get depleted, your energy gets depleted.
What does that have, like taurine and caffeine?
Bro, it was such a small candy, but it was so many chemicals in one thing.
What was the come down like from that?
Dude, Monday, that was the come down, dude. I took a Bang at the punchline. I demolished. Like, and the funny thing was, people think I'm always up at the punchline. It's only been so many. I mean, beyond just doing like a week of work, but I was up there. I wanted to make a point. Really, I want to see how hard I could do it. So me and Gary took a Bang, and Gary Anderson is one of those comics where he's good looking, but you can look at him and tell that God is real, because he's balding at a very rapid rate. You know what I mean? And a bald-headed black guy, thank God he has such a nice head. So he shaved his head, and he's 5'9", maybe 5'8".
Wait, why is God real?
God's real because if he was 6 feet, whatever, 6'2", head of hair.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
It would not be fair. There's nothing worse in comedy when you see, because, like, you know what's funny? Everyone assumes almost male comedians are ugly. I think most male comedians are moderately attractive. I think even if you have a
representative of their type,
like, you're a good looking guy. Like, see, but that's your problem. You think like a white guy.
Fair.
Your neck's too small. That's the only thing I have.
No, he's got a good neck.
I gotta protect this neck after my incident over the weekend.
What happened?
I don't even know. I just woke up and I couldn't
move my
head.
You can't start a sentence after my incident this weekend and follow. I don't know. Like, it's memento. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like it's drawn on your chest. You know, you have to. There has to be some context. You woke up and you just woke up in the wrong place.
I woke up and literally I couldn't turn my head. I went to work and I had to swivel to talk to people. I would be like, hello.
So you have a repetitive stress injury from work because you're doing too much with your mouse and it's affecting your where your shoulder attaches to your neck. And so it's you're overcompensating. You have to if you could use your left hand with your mouse, you're doing too much on the computer.
Use your left hand. That's it. That's your advice.
Yeah. Left hand.
But that's the hand he uses to put the belt around his neck.
Or more ergonomic with the you're hunching with your shoulder and you're engaging the thing.
Do you know this from experience? Were you a desky in a past life?
No, but I have friends that are in the massage business.
And they have this injury or they treat this injury? It seems like they would have this injury too, like the mouse and the massage. Like, what is a massage except for just mouse-like movements, except with more force?
Bro, no. Have you had a massage before?
I used to be a masseuse.
Wait a minute, what?
I used to work for a chiropractor, and my job was to warm the people up. And it sounds a little bit sexual, and it is.
Was there a feather involved?
No feather involved, except for my dexterous hands, which are feather-like, people have said. Yeah, so you warm the people up, and then the chiropractor comes in and he adjusts you.
This is interesting because there is a certain number of Bay Area comedians who are masseuses, and like you, Gabby Pochea, Liz Grant, Sam Gilway isn't a masseuse, but she got fingered by one. So that is some kind
by
of
by the
training.
Transitive property. Yeah, she's a masseuse.
The best property.
And Liz Grant had a one-woman show about being a masseuse, and I didn't see it, but people said it was riveting and informative. And I've always been wondering, like, what happens with a male masseuse? Because everyone assumes if you're going to get a massage, it is by an Asian woman that's brought here by slavery. You know what I mean? And that's the more enslaved, the better it is. I had one last night on
that's
Polk
so
Street.
Fucked up.
Oh yeah, and the more she hates like you, like the more she doesn't want to look you in the eye, she just like really gets. And last night, me and my lady went and got a massage on Polk Street. And they, first of all, it's funny, but here's the funny thing. When you got to judge your massage parlor by how high the ranking is on Rub Maps. You ever know what Rub Maps
are? Oh, I know what Rub Maps is.
Wait, did you just, now are you nodding in agreement? Are you shaking your head?
No, I don't know shit about Rub Maps.
Rub Maps is a website that informs you how many massage parlors to give happy endings across the country.
Damn.
But yeah. Here's the thing with that. If you're really high on Rub Maps, you're probably going to be checking the rankings as a massage parlor. You're going to be checking the rankings. If hand jobs are the thing you're best at, you're probably going to start to slack in the other areas. And I kind of want this all-around massage, you know? I want like a number 13. I want the 13th best on Rub Maps. So they're going to jerk me off. They're going to make me come, but they're going to give me a goddamn good massage, too.
So it's kind of like ordering a McDonald's meal. You want a number 4 mixed with a 5.
Yeah.
So you really want back, neck, rub out.
Oh, I'll go to two massage parlors knowing that one has a better massage and then one will make me come.
that should be the way they actually. Yeah, you know, on Polk Street, if it looks like every two blocks there's a massage parlor, that would be great if everyone had like competing signs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like free rub out.
Like stats. Like
yeah, how would they market it? Is it like
it'd be like McDonald's, like a million came, you know what I mean?
Is it
game right there? Ding 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 ding.
Or like you ever see that meter on Market Street that shows you how many bicycles have passed by?
Yeah.
It's just like a laser.
It's just like it's a bunch of driplets.
Yeah, it's just cum laser. Like,
but the interesting thing about this is my second massage ever. Because my girlfriend's really, she's really into, she's a Santa Cruz kind of person. So she's really into, Eastern philosophy and health or anything. So I go in and I will say this. I'm really interested and getting different levels of massages. Because right now I'm going to the Chinese slavery ones. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's so sad.
Ooh, be worried about that coronavirus, man.
Bro, I felt sick today. And look, God love me.
Tell him to put the gloves on. Seriously,
dude,
don't play.
This dude grabbed me. And first of all, here's why I felt. I felt a little fat shamed. Because that we came in there and they changed the music to Lizzo. And I really thought that was a little I was a little worried about where we were going with this. And they see me and they go, oh, big boy. Right? And I go, I'm a man. Right? And they go, and they bring out the big one. Remember in Inglourious Basterds when they had the big Jew? And it was like, oh no.
The bear Jew. The bear Jew.
Yeah, the bear Jew. Yeah. They brought the bear Chinese guy
and the
guy,
baseball bat.
Dude,
ding.
His fingers were baseball. This guy was 6'2". First of all, rarity. 6'2 Asian dude, yeah. Right? Big Yao Ming, not kind of like bucket head. And he comes out, big dick fingers, right? Gets these crazy unfried egg rolls of hands, right? He comes out and he says, head down. Put head down. Now, you know, if he knew all the English, I wouldn't trust him, right? But he knew about 300 words straight up, right? He said, put head down. Head down.
The right 300 words.
The right, yeah, the right. It wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't doing like spelling bee words, you know what I mean? So he comes up, put the head down, and I forget that the hole you have to put your head in, right? And I didn't really realize what the hole was. It's to drool in.
That's what it is? Do they put a bucket?
Yes, and you know what? It's the bottom of the bucket, all the free candies they give you. So I spit mine out, and it went tink, and it was just on another
like
candy.
Like the bear Jew.
He starts rubbing me, and, oh, first of all, before I do it, it's interesting. I saw a friend of mine, Drew, who I was supposed to talk to this week because I was supposed to give her this projector, and she was there. And, look, there's the thing about it. Like, don't act like you're broke if you're getting a massage. Like, she's all, woe is me. I need, get it when you, a woman is on Facebook begging for shit. Like, can somebody give me something? You gotta be hot.
I'm stressed because I have no money. I need to go get a massage.
Yeah, I'm getting a $50 massage. And then she's like, oh. And then she said this thing that I thought, like, it wasn't disrespectful, but you can't underestimate the work. Because she's like, oh my God, it was like, it was almost sexual. And it's like, I don't, as a man, I don't want to hear that. Like, I don't, because the guy I'm getting is now gonna rub me down, and I don't want to come. I want to feel better. So she was all, and she felt all better. So the dude put my face down, and he can start rubbing. And I don't know what your style is.
It probably felt pretty good, right?
No, there was a lot of it. I was in fucking pain,
oh,
dude.
Really?
I was, but there were so many. When I didn't resist. Oh my God. Oh.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer ya. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
International banking, diplomatic cables, nuclear missile launch codes all rely on unbreakable encryption. What if these codes were no longer secure? That nightmare scenario seems to be a reality. A shadowy underworld syndicate is auctioning off access to the world's encrypted secrets. The only plausible explanation for this ability? Someone has achieved the holy grail of code breaking. Quantum computing. Veteran CIA agent John Clooney must track down the perpetrators and retrieve this technology for the U.S. government and its personal, as the Enigma brokers have already cost the lives of his fellow agents, perhaps including his partner. John Wessex, The Enigma Brokers, is the first book of the John Clooney thrillers. Get it on Amazon.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny? Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shit. From time to time, I've been giving it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dag-nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499. I was really just cool, leaving the theater.
Convertible 1969 gold Cadillac with the white interior. I drove it up here.
And I started to do some thinking.
Around in it on the freeway, and I'm having a really, really good time.
Flat black glass.
Smoking big spliffs and cruising.
Saturday noon to 2.
On the freeway. Good feeling.
I am
I'll
a total fraud. Lori Stanley's voice is absolutely right. I am petty, bilious, and adolescent. And I will cut the
Hello, Blake.
Shit.
Henry. Yeah. Charlie here. Yeah. I have a report here, Henry, from your chief nurse, Major O'Houlihan. She makes some accusations, Henry. I find pretty hard to believe.
The dude minds, man.
Has John Clooney's friend and ally become a dangerous enemy? Private investigator Anton Gruber has been CIA agent John Clooney's trusted aide. Clooney may have questioned Gruber's taste in cuisine, but never his loyalty, until Gruber double-crossed him. Escaping with his life, Clooney is sidelined while his superior attempts to discover how Gruber was compromised. The investigation delves into Gruber's astonishing past, from his unpleasant days as an East German border guard to life as a narcotics agent, from his time in the tango clubs of Buenos Aires to a trip up the Amazon in search of Nazi gold. John Wessex's The Prague Deception is the third book of the John Clooney thrillers. Get